Harper. Hits one in the air, looks back, it goes! Harper! The swing of his life!
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep, Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories in games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody, not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stressed. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun, and so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
Big thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance today. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 517, and it is Friday, March 16th, 2018. Scott Johnson here, joined by the sort of in my time zone, about an hour ahead of me, because he's in California this week.
I won't ruin it for you,
yeah.
But it's good.
It's pretty good.
It's a good hour.
Yeah.
Pretty good hour.
Terpster's in the U.S. On
think
soil.
He's an hour behind you.
Oh, is he?
I'm in San Francisco, so I'm 7 hours plus GMT at the moment.
Well, that'll jack you up if you're from the UK, for sure.
Yeah. I was out in LA at the beginning of the week, and that was good fun. And yeah. I got into San Francisco yesterday.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I feel more tired now than I did then. You know, I don't know, that hour flight between LA and San Francisco, that messed me up.
Well, it's like, you know.
Can you tell us what games you've been seeing?
Yeah, can you say anything about your trip?
In LA, I went to see the new Jurassic Park Evolution game and do some stuff there.
Yeah.
And I can talk more about that March 29th.
Mm.
And then for GDC, it kind of kicks off later today for our first sort of some behind closed door stuff.
Yeah.
So you didn't see God of War?
No, I've yet to see God of War. Mm. That'd be cool though. If it's here, I want to try and find that, play that.
I'm sure they will. They had something.
I don't know. A lot of the big stuff doesn't exhibit here.
Yeah.
It's a lot more of the indie things and then super new things as well.
Right.
But who knows?
I'm just jazzed. We almost had this worked out so that you were going to be here for a couple of days and then go on to LA. And I'm sad that didn't work out that way because cuddle time with you really is my favorite time.
Oh, but, man, it would have been beautiful. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a
real bummer.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah.
Next
we'll see if we can get it happening next time. But also with us from, I assume you're in Helsinki right now. You're always, of course you are. You have the baby.
Yeah.
Patrick's here. Patrick from France. Hello, Patrick.
Yeah. Hey. So I feel I have to explain a little bit what's happening here. I actually literally have the baby right now on me in the carrier, and he might start screaming at any moment.
Sure.
So dear listeners, I'm sorry in advance if that happens. He just fell asleep. I almost couldn't make it to the show.
That's so cute.
That's a cute one.
And so that's just like he's still asleep.
He's dreaming.
And I'm using the white noise. Like I have an iPad, like a $1,000 iPad Pro. It's become the white noise machine. So super investment. That's what he hears.
Yeah. We
all
used
the time.
To do that with Rosie. Yeah. We used to have YouTube rain, you know, like tropical rain sounds, like 4-hour mixes. And you're just like, yeah, come on, just sleep, come on.
I wonder if that stuff when they get older, if they have like a bad night's sleep, if that's a thing that they'll turn to because they'll be, you know, they'll have this memory of it or something. Be
maybe
interesting.
No, well,
at least it kind of works, you know. That's the thing that matters.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Congratulations on finding a thing that works.
It is.
And if it stops working, I will disappear from the show in a second. So.
Well, I'm excited that you're I'm excited, Terpster, to know that you're in California because my daughter's going to GDC for the university she works for. And she When I said, "Hey, Terpster's gonna be there," she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see him." I said, "Yeah, but don't let him take you to any parties or any of that."
No, I will. She needs to have the proper GDC experience, you know. And it gets pretty crazy, you know.
She's not quite 21.
Crazy DC.
When she's 21, she's 21, she can go to all the parties with you she wants. But right now, she's still, you know, my little flower. And anyway, she's going. She's very excited. Is there anything there in particular that Blizzard's doing? Are they doing any kind of stagey thing?
Blizzard treats it very much as a sort of a hiring thing. So they'll go out and game developers obviously come up and talk about what they're doing and different talent and across the way. They sometimes will do a tour. And so in the past we had like Josh Mascara did a Loop 2.0 talk here a while ago about Diablo and how they kind of made it good.
That was really good. I heard that whole talk. It was awesome. It was a great talk.
I think Eric Dodds did one about kind of Hearthstone and how they kind of come up with their theming. Mm-hmm. The talks I actually don't see much of because I'm normally going. It's weird. I come to GDC, I get a pass, and I spend most of my time in hotel lobbies, then going up into different hotel rooms to see games where basically developers are far too cheap to have a big public stand. Yeah. So they're like, "Hey, yeah, come up to the Marriott. It's a VR headset. There you go. Try it out, you know." Mm-hmm. So, but Blizzard, you know, sometimes like I'll see like, you know, Greg Street and stuff will be out here. And so he's always fun. Last year I bumped into Ian Hazzacostas on the street. So sometimes it's kind of weird and it feels like a pseudo BlizzCon. I got a selfie with Rob Pierce. Last year.
Frank Pierce?
Frank Pierce, even, sorry.
Yeah.
It's
confirmed. Rob Pardo and Frank Pierce, same guy. It's confirmed.
Yeah, same guy. It was both of them in the one selfie. So it's weird, but it's in some ways it's one of the best conventions out there, and in some it's one of the worst.
Yeah.
It really depends on what you're doing,
sure,
and who else is here.
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to see hear about what you saw and what you guys did and all that stuff. And you know, be safe. There's a lot of hippies there. You don't want to have that rub off on you too much and all that stuff. Got to be careful. All right. Well, let's jump into what we got today and see what we can do and contribute to your jet lag. If I could just find the button. Here it is. All right, Ian Hazzacostas got in front of a camera like he often does, and he broke down some detailed information about the upcoming Battle for Azeroth expansion, which I can't wait for. Are any of us dabbling in the alpha, or have we all had our little taste and then moved away from it? Are we all good?
I've played a little bit. It's changed quite a bit since when it first came out as the alpha.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting to see that progression. I know, for example, that Ian's not out at GDC this year because they are very much in crunch at the moment on Warcraft. And the amount of evolution is currently being seen in at least the alpha version of the game is massive.
Mm.
So they are making, you know, great strides as they push on little stuff like you can adjust your orc posture now in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm. Not a euphemism, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look they look pretty good. They got a cool stance to them. They look like they're
they look like Dwayne Johnson to me. They got this kind of like, yeah, I'm ready now, you know, because they're henches you can get, and they're stood, and they just look like they're spoiling for a fight sort of thing, cruising for a bruising.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see the sort of the continued evolution of those sort of allied race changes as well.
Yeah,
isn't the straight back orcs kind of a, you know, you're renouncing kind of what makes your core identity as an orc? It's almost like, oh yeah, we used to be kind of quirky and weird, but now we want to be normal. Like, isn't that contrary to what the
orcs? It can get a bit more human looking, you know, because they're just muscly green guys. You know, they became hunched from the fell You know, as that made them green and their muscles swell even more, they became hunched, kind of crazed, ogre-y, you know, kind of eagle beasts. But with the Magar orcs, brown orcs that are coming in as allied race, they're showing that natural upright. And I think enough time has genuinely passed that the effects of the fell since, because Manoroth was killed by Grom, like what, like 20 years ago? Like in theory, they should be not as green as they once were. They should be able to stand taller. You know, those effects should be waning in some ways. So I don't know. I kind of like it. I think it looks cool. They're physically bigger and more imposing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun. And equally, because it's not just, hey, all orcs now are upright, you get a lot more variation in the silhouette and aesthetic when you're kind of going around Orgrimmar. I mean, obviously, when the game comes out, everyone will just be upright for a while. But then people may settle back down into the hunched ones. They're doing the same thing with the trolls. So the Darkspear trolls, which are, you know, kind of their whole thing is being super hunched over. And, you know, they had to make the new allied trolls taller because of how tall a Zandalari troll is if you make them upright. So it's an interesting evolution. I'm all for anything that creates a bit more visual variety in the game.
Yeah, I am as well. I think they look really, really cool. And the first thing I'm going to do is get to I assume we're still doing this stuff at the barbershop, but the first thing I'm going to do is
it's just the barbershop. It's literally just a toggle. Yeah.
I'm going to get there as fast as I can and get my dude standing up straight, because that's how GURP should be. And it looks really cool.
You think, like I said, after all these years, all the things he's achieved, do it.
Yeah. Plus these Zandalari troll males. I mean, look, I'm a heterosexual male, all right? But I kind of think these dudes are hot. That is a good-looking male, Zandalari troll male right there. I'm looking at on my screen.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You like that, dude?
I like the, you know what it is? Their markings are super cool. Like that stuff on their shoulders, on their forearms and hands. The male and female models and their heads. It almost like Trills from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
DS9, yeah.
But I really like that look. Like, that's just a badass mofo. And if there was a rating for best new upcoming allied race, for me, it's hands down these guys. They're just
Dark Iron dwarves. Those Dark Iron female dwarves just look so amazing.
Yeah.
I honestly, it's, you know, I play Horde, but I'm going to play Alliance for a bit. You know, they just look so cool. And yeah. It's trying to figure out, and the Dark Irons have Shaman Totems that are big anvils, and that looks amazing. So I'm feeling a Dark Iron female shaman as my Battle for Azeroth level.
Well, they did. So Ian confirmed a couple of things about these upcoming races. In particular, the Zandalari trolls won't be unlocked at the release of Battle of Azeroth. It's part of the first story arc, so you're not going to get those the minute you install and go. You're going to have to work at that. I think those have been in the beta, or the alpha rather, probably already know this, but he was sort of clarifying. Allied races will always come out in pairs. So one Alliance, one Horde. But he did say in the long run, they may not come out for both factions at the same time, but always in pairs. So for whatever that's worth or whatever that means, that'll happen. I wonder how much that is. Like, they'll add a character slot, he confirmed, every time they do it. But at some point, how many is too many? Do you know what I mean? Like, right now, just...
I hear you. Yeah, I think...
15. 15, that's the number.
Okay.
I think if they did one per existing race... So, for example, you know, like the Kul Tiran humans are for humans.
Yeah.
You know, the Lightforged Draenei for Draenei. You know, if we have Mecha Gnomes for gnomes or Leper Gnomes, you know, if they pick one of those, that could be fun. I think having an alternate skin, but equally with different racials and a different aesthetic, just makes for a more fun in the game, you know, more variation. You know, you want to see more impressive different characters. It also means NPCs, you know, we get a variation in what they look like, and there's more stories to tell. You know, I'm of the opinion there can't be too many. Because I think that you don't have to. It's like with mounts. You know, there's like 400, 500 mounts in the game or something ridiculous. Like, there's too many in terms of getting them all, enjoying them all, and all the rest. But for some people out there, that's their game.
Sure.
And I don't think it hurts the game to have lots of these things.
Yeah, the variety spice of life thing is definitely in effect here. And I think I'm with that. I like the idea of just, I don't know that there's a need to cap it. Like, just have a ton of things you could always be or do. Doesn't mean you have to be all of them. It's, they're just there. It's kind of like having, it's like every time a new restaurant opens, you don't have to go make sure you eat there. You know, it's just like, go to the ones that sound good. Ooh, that one just opened. That's interesting. I like that kind of food.
That is the weirdest analogy I've ever heard. I liked it.
It was good.
It's just
when
strange.
You go to the restaurant, you don't have to order everything on the menu. You can pick the things that you like the look of.
Sure. Yeah. You know, you're right. You're with me.
But in all fairness, America, you have too much on your menus. Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
It's like, here's 200 things you can pick from. Just have like six. That makes it easier for me. Do six things well rather than 200 things bad.
How do you feel about how do you feel about our portions these days? You're back in the States. You think we're still overdoing it?
But the thing is, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I was brought up to finish my plate. And in America, it's like, you show value at a restaurant by giving more. So rather than like, I'm going to make this food cheaper, I'm just going to give you more food. And then in America, everyone boxes food up. And so they get it in a little pack takeaway thing and they go microwave it back home. We don't do that.
No.
So I'm here from my sort of, I was brought up, there's people in the world less fortunate than you. You should finish your meal because that is a great privilege you have. And so that's, my battle with obesity is from that, I think. And equally, food makes me happy.
Well, I think that somehow changed, because Patrick, you and I have had this conversation a million times too. And in fact, the French are downright like offended when somebody asks for a doggy bag or whatever. But I think this changed sometime between when I was a kid and now, because I was also raised with almost this exact line. There are children in China who are starving. Why don't you finish your freaking corn dog or whatever?
Yeah,
and something changed in between them.
No. Why would you give a child a corn?
Super nutritious. It's got everything the kid needs. It's got.
I mean,
corn.
I love corn dogs. right. That doesn't seem like it's very relevant. Ooh, crap! The little one is starting to cry.
Oh, okay, I thought maybe you're going to get vomited on or something, but
might happen too. Oh no, okay, he's
okay.
He doesn't seem to like the instance. I don't know what's happening.
Well, it's the World of Warcraft podcast, so he doesn't have to.
Okay, sorry, muting.
All right, you're fine. You do what you gotta do. Anyway, what else is going on? Let's talk about artifact weapons. This is interesting. When 8.0 launches, the traits on artifact weapons will be disabled. The
burnt out.
That done. It's like
so.
Snuffed.
We use our artifact weapons to draw out the evil powers within Sargeras's blade that's currently jammed into Silithus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in that act, we basically balls them up. So I think that's basically it. So I guess the way we'll do that is we'll have that quest and we'll do it, and then the patch will come out sometime after. So it's like, and now the weapons succumb to the influence. But we'll still use them, but it's just that because they're putting a lot of those baseline artifact abilities into talent trees, it's a clean way, I guess, of doing that.
Yeah, and we knew this was coming. Like, there was nobody was sitting around going, gosh, I wonder if I'll still be able to whip out that sweet artifact bow and have it be awesome. The nice thing to hear or to learn about, though, is that the weapon and relics will stay, just you won't have the talents. And that also means, I would think, in perpetuity, you could transmog and stay with that or any of the styles of that weapon that you unlocked, all the color variations and everything. You'd be able to, you'll have that for as long as you play World of Warcraft, right? Like, you can just always.
I guess so. I think they're going to stop you being able to unlock Mage Tower challenge stuff when Battle comes out, just so that it retains that prestige of, you were very competent at playing that role at that time.
Right.
But yeah, beyond that, I'm all for keeping the transmogs, you know, having those weapons. In some ways, it would have been nice, you know, my paladin to hand over Ashbringer to an NPC just so I can see it out there again. You know, I come across, you know, this cool, you know, maybe it's Lothraxian, this big angelic demon, and maybe he's wailing away on someone with the Ashbringer. And it's like, oh, cool, that was mine. Good, man. Keep up the good work. but then equally, maybe for the story, have them somewhat corrupted means that us transferring onto other weapons doesn't mean thematically that the artifact weapons weren't still the pinnacle of all weapons of all time.
Right.
You know, right. They were. We just broke them.
Yeah. I mean, there's two, because there's two issues here. There's what are they now mechanically? And what they are mechanically is just kind of your starter weapon before you start getting better drops in the new expansion. And they're a transmog item, but it's important, I would assume, to Blizzard. And based on what you just said, I think it's important to us that the weapons weren't just a blip in history, that there was some lasting impact, a sense of it anyway, moving forward out of this expansion. I think that would just be important for them to do that. They could just throw it behind them and say, yeah, that was a thing we did, and let's move on, everybody. It's like the Isle of, you know, whatever that was, and what was it called? The
Kel'thas?
No, the one we used to go out to in Burning Crusade and do every day, the Dailies Island. What was it called?
Yeah, Isle of Quel'thas.
Oh, you did say it right. Sorry, cut you off. As much as that was a thing that seemed important at the time, nobody thinks about it now, right? Like, in the larger scheme of things, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going back there ever again. And that'll be true of your artifact weapons mechanically. But it'd be cool if we had a way to have it really stand out in our heads as this really important thing that happened in the history of our characters and the history of the game. So we'll see, I guess, how that all turns out. Patrick, how you doing over there, buddy? You doing all right? Just checking in on him. He's probably still muted.
Yeah, he seems to have quieted down a little bit. I have threatened him with meeting Terpster, and he was like, "Oh, I don't want to do that."
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, wow. I can sympathize with that.
Look, wow. I don't know what the abuse laws are like in Europe, but jeez. Any thoughts on the artifact stuff, Patrick? Do you want how do you want to be remembered for your time in Legion and that fancy weapon you carried around with you?
No, I think it's fine. We knew we weren't going to keep them, as you said. I think it's funny that we have basically, we burned like, what, 36 of the most powerful weapon in history. The sword of Sargeras is not tiny. So, yeah, size does matter. So you need to have the gigantic sword neutralized with all the power you can think of in the world. But, yeah, it's like, oh, Ashbringer? Yeah, it's gone. Atiash? Oh, goodbye. And, you know, everything is destroyed, so that's kind of funny, but it's nice that you can keep the actual weapon. It doesn't completely disappear, it's just the talents are gone, as you said. Mm-hmm. So it's still, you still have it somehow, but just not, and yeah, we're not going to remember them in three expansions time. And also, I can understand that some people might be disappointed that you don't get to keep them, but if these are the most powerful weapons that you can ever have, then you will never have another weapon in the game. And that's not necessarily very fun when you're loot hunting. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they say Battle for Azeroth will have traditional, this is Ian saying, they'll have traditional weapon drops, including Warglaives. So all you, I don't know, who's using Warglaives these days?
Demon Hunters, yeah.
Oh, Demon Hunters, right. Now they have their actual weapons dropping. I didn't think about that.
And this is cool, though, is that we still get to use our artifact weapon at the start of Battle for Azeroth until we get a better drop, which is really good, because I held on to Thorlash, or whatever it is, drop off of in Antorus, off of Aggramar, because I was like, oh, actually, I might need a weapon in the expansion, because they might take my, you know, my artifact away from me. But evidently, you know, we can play through till we get the drop, which might not be for a couple of levels, depending on how geared up and our artifact is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll be exchanging it for the first green that drops off a Kul Tiran, I don't know.
I hope not. I hope it's at least like, you know, the end of the first zone quest line or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And maybe something a blue. Cool. Okay, maybe it's a blue.
Yeah, like a blue or maybe even an epic. I don't know if I'm being, you know, entitled there.
A little bit, maybe.
But yeah, I would like to feel like, you know, an epic from, I don't know, the Zandalari Empire becomes, you know, mine. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, so my thing is, I have a confession to make that's maybe slightly, I don't know if this is controversial among hunters or not, but the Beastmaster weapon is ugly, and all of its iterations are ugly. Okay.
Yeah, but hang on. So you have Hattie, yeah?
Yeah.
So you have the soul of like a dog.
Yeah. But he looks like Henry, by the way. I made him.
But what happens to him?
He freaking sacrifices himself to save Azeroth. What do you think?
Here's the lore. I was in Silithus with Gurp and Henry, and with Hattie, who's with us. He looked like Henry at the time. And this giant sword fell out of space, landed in the ground, and I went
straight on him.
I went, oh shit, where's the dog? And that was it. Yeah. That was the end of the dog. So if anyone was looking for some closure to that story, that's how that all turned out. But
wow, that's how it happened.
That's a good point, but I don't.
And
fine.
In the end, he sacrifices himself to get rid of another giant sword that
there you go
gets in the ground.
Nailed
right?
it. So, but
I'm
my
sorry,
point,
guys, but I think this isn't working. And you were talking about abuse laws. Okay. Unfortunately,
not Patrick on Twitter, frenchspin.com. Check him out, dude. Go nurse the baby because you're lactating.
All right. Bye, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
It's the Terps and Scott hour now.
Man, that brings back such traumatic memories. It is tough when you get one that doesn't enjoy sleeping.
Yeah, and it happens. Yeah. We had one of our three that didn't, and the other two slept like babies.
Yeah. It's a coin flip.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. So back to my point, my confession is those weapons are ugly. I already transmog. This may surprise some. My favorite transmog is a poop crap drop that comes out of your what the hell were they called? The last expansion, your thing, your home, your place that you built.
Garrison.
Jeez. The garrison junk drop joint, the little goblin would give you a thing and then once in a while would drop. That's where GURP's perfect arrow and your stupid pants or shield or whatever it is you got, they would start dropping in there.
Really?
Yeah, they're all the time. I got so many GURP's perfect arrows out of that thing. It was ridiculous. But one of them, one of the guns that it drops is this total crap gun. It's not even, you know, it's as white as you can get. Just a crappy poopy gun, but I love the design. It's like duct taped looking Mad Max kind of rifle with this cool blade taped underneath or strapped underneath with leather. And it's got this wood stock that's just all nasty and gnarly. And it's just the coolest looking gun. I love the art on this thing. But it's never been anything more than a throwaway kind of item. If you ever got it dropped from a creature in your garrison, you just freaking sell it and be done with it. But I liked it so much that I immediately transmogged that to be my main weapon. And when Legion rolled around, I used the new weapon for a while, or new weapons for the different specs, and outside the staff for survival, obviously. But I didn't like any of them, any of the unlocks, any of this. I just think they're all gnarly ugly. Sorry, whoever did those. You know, the swords and stuff, Ashbringer's badass, like all that stuff's great. But yeah, the guns, that particular gun looks like poopy to me.
I think equally, it being a gun and not a bow, I felt like just wasn't. It wasn't that
cool. No, it wasn't that cool. I mean, it just was okay, but it wasn't that cool. So what I ended up doing...
I think it's fine to have favorite weapon skins. Like, on my Paladin, I transmog Ashbringer. It's one of the coolest looking weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But I transmog it into Arceus or Arceus, whatever. I forget how you say it, but it's from Duskwood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Morgan Lattimore's sword. And you do it from a quest. It's like level 35. But it was just this really cool kind of paladin sword, and it comes from an amazing quest line, really cool story. And I don't know if you can do the quest as Horde, but I did it as Alliance and got the skin unlocked, and I have it on my Tauren. And I just love, it's a really simple looking sword, but it's just, you know, kind of nicely done.
Yeah. There are a few like that.
Archies, I think it's called.
Yeah. And there are a few like that in the game, obviously, well, more than a few. But the gun stuck in such a way for me that for two expansions now, I've used it as a transmog nearly 100% of the time. And moving into this next expansion, I don't think I care about the artifact weapon stuff. I'll just keep using my rad looking, you know, it looks like something Mad Max pulled out of a war rig and shot a war boy with. Like, it's this badass looking post-apocalyptic, but also fantasy driven rifle. And I'm good. I think that's going to stay. I pick it over bows. I mean, once in a while a cool bow will show up, but I really like that gun. So anyway, I guess the point I'm making is this transition away from artifact weapons is not going to affect me that much. I don't think the Hunter got the best of the batch.
No, I mean, the big change obviously is that we used to have through artifacts like five kind of baseline talents that were fantastic.
Yeah.
And now those are being put into the talent tree. We have to pick from those. And so that's the biggest change, is like some of those passive abilities you use and those sorts of things, have gone.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a shame.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. But anyway, we'll see what they do. Story-wise, it's going to be interesting. Excited for whatever in-game cinematics we see. I know some of that's in the alpha, but I've been avoiding spoilers and not spoilers. But
I don't think they've got any of the actual pre-rendered stuff in there. They normally do a good job at encrypting that. So even if it is in the client, we won't be able to access it till launch.
So Taryn Gregory, who still listens to the show, I think. So hey, Taryn, what's up? He's in charge of that team and does great work over there. And he put a picture on Twitter of him being hugged by
Reinhardt's voice actor. Yeah,
and what's her name too? For that's also in Critical Role. My brain just went dead. But Laura Bailey was there.
Oh right, yeah, Jaina.
Now that means she's in recording probably Jaina lines, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he says he just got done with a recording session. You don't think any of that stuff's for? Do you think that's for stuff way in the future or way down this expansion's timeline? They've got to be kind of done with the launch stuff, right?
I don't know. I mean, they work quite last minute. In all fairness, with these sorts of things, in the the voice record should happen fairly early in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, I don't think they've finished the post treatments and stuff like that on the in-game cinematics that will go out at launch. Mm. But if he's recording stuff with her, that could be for like the first or second patch, something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
But as to, you know, obviously Jaina is going to feature heavily in Battle for Azeroth. You know, going back to her homeland, her family and the other families of Kul Tiras. And so be cool to see what she does.
You have any new
unhinged she is or not?
Well, that was going to be my question. Are you, as our resident lore nerd, do you feel, is there anything about Jaina leading up to this?
I feel a lot of things about Jaina, but it'll be interesting. I think she's kind of at this point now where she could be kind of going down the path of, you know, kind of I'm angry and I'm on the verge of evil, but I feel like they've pulled her back a bit and she's a little bit more understood, kind of doesn't have as much, it's a bit like Anduin in many ways as well, in that they're not as naive, I guess, as they once were. And, you know, Anduin still kind of hopes for peace, but I think he understands that to get the peace, he may have to go to war.
She has she has a resolve to her face right now that's makes me think that we're not going to just have pissed Jaina, one note pissed Jaina like we've had for the last expansion and a half. Instead, we're going to get a nuanced, resolved, older, wiser, like you said, less naive Jaina, who's kind of going to have to accept the fact that her old ideas with Thrall about peace are maybe naive and perhaps they're, you know, that stuff's a little undercooked and they're going to have to, you know, this is going to be an ugly war.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't seen much of Thrall either since he handed off Doomhammer to shamans. And Thrall will feature in this expansion. And I think from the stuff we think that's going to happen, it could be quite cool in that he may be, he may be helping us meet an old friend. But we'll have to see. Actually, you never know with these things until they actually happen.
Yeah,
I would be excited if that goes ahead.
That's some intense. I'm not even sure what you're referring to, but I'm all in on whatever.
I don't want to spoil it for people. But yeah, there's potentially, yeah, he's involved in some of the stuff that happens in the, I think it's going to be the first troll zone, I think.
Okay.
But it might be later, but we will see.
All right. I'm stoked. I know what that is now. I'm all excited. I talked about personal loot. Personal loot is the desired loot rule moving forward. They are all in on personal loot. If you thought that was a brief moment in time where it would maybe revert back to be mostly master loot focused in the game, you are wrong. This is the new way World of Warcraft, or the way they distribute loot in the game, be it through raids or whatever. You still have the option of using master loot in raid scenarios where you can kind of control that more. But they say, you know, set pieces are gone in Battle of Azeroth, so personal loot only is a good thing. It will help to balance things at the top end of the raid scene and split runs, they say. Now, when he said, I don't want to bury the lead here. When he said set pieces are gone in Battle for Azeroth, I don't remember hearing that until I was doing show prep.
It doesn't ring a bell with me, but maybe it was said.
Caught me off guard, man. Like, that seemed like a massive, weird thing to hear about the game that you've played.
So
for
in November
12 years.
The 14th, they said, so Game Informer interviewed Ian Hazzacostas at BlizzCon, and he said then, apparently, that tier sets are not currently planned to continue into Battle for Azeroth.
So what is that?
So it was, in theory, announced, just not through Blizzard, through an article on Game Informer.
So let's think about what that means for a second, though. This game has always had tier sets, and it was always the driving carrot in front of people who would be willing to raid to get there and to get these tier sets. Now they can't do them. And I assume this means tier sets across the board, not just those earnable in raid environments, but also ones you'd buy with currencies and things like that.
Well, what he says here, it says, with sets and cosmetic appearances, we're always trying new things. We're currently not planning on carrying forward traditional raid class sets, says Hazzacostas. So we're going to have, art-wise, the gear will be more heavily themed from the place it comes. There's more customization we want to express through the new Azerite system. I think class sets have changed a lot over the years of World of Warcraft. Back in the day, these eight-piece sets you would put together over the course of 6 to 8 months raiding a zone, whereas now the smaller sets and so many more sources of gear, it's very common to get 2 or 4 pieces at the start of the tier, and it actually kind of locks down those character slots. It limits your choices. Hmm. Feels more of a drawback than a strength at this point. I don't think they're talking aesthetically that they're not going to have matching sets for each class. I think it's more set bonuses that they are doing away with.
They're also, I noticed in the last, the last two expansions, but especially in Legion, if you went and quested in an area or a zone and cleared that zone out, you walked out of there, with the exception of weapons, you walked out of there with a matching set. Cosmetically, it may not be, you know, anything special, but it all matched. And then you'd move to the next zone, and in theory, you'd walk out of there with another matching set, or maybe it's even just a slight difference from the old one, but
it's like recolor stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that leads me to think that that's just the point. From now on, there'll be ways of getting sets of stuff that just let you go make yourself look different, and you'll have more choices and more options. And
yeah, like I said, I think it's more focused around, like, they don't want to have it that you're like, oh, these boots, I want to use these boots, but if I do, then I lose my set bonus. Yeah, I think by just getting rid of set bonuses, you're freed up to just take whatever gear that you particularly like at that point. So, and equally, it's one less thing for them to have to balance in terms of, oh, hang on, this doesn't really feel good, this feels weak, or this is way too strong because we didn't think about it being used for this legendary we put in and that thing over there. So I think it kind of simplifies things a little bit and makes it a bit more rewarding.
Yeah, I agree. I forgot about set bonuses until you just said that. It's a big change. It's a big change. I'm sure someone's pissed about this. I just haven't heard about it, or I haven't been paying attention to who's mad, but somebody's got to be mad.
Yeah.
Somebody.
I think people are always mad. Yeah. But at the same time, it's tricky because we've only got little pieces and we don't see the whole.
Yeah.
So like, for example, I get annoyed when I'm like, oh, what, my artifact abilities aren't being like just made into my class spec abilities. Now they're getting rolled into talent. So like I can pick maybe one of them. Ah, come on, Blizz. But until I see and play it and actually, you know, get over it, it's a different scenario, isn't it?
That's true. Island Expeditions are now up for testing on the PTR, by the way. This is something you can get into right now and test out if you'd like, or wait until the game comes out and play it then. A new Battle for Azeroth feature, Island Expeditions, we've known about this since BlizzCon, is now available. For characters at level 110 or higher, your level and item level will be appropriately adjusted to level 120 values, so you don't have to grind a bunch of stuff to get there. Alliance players can queue up from the expedition table in Boralas Harbor near the Trade Winds Market. Look to the green ship occupying the second ship. What? Oh, second slip, sorry. Horde players can queue from the expedition table in Zuldazar Harbor and the port of Zandalar on the west side. Look for the red ship. So here's what they're testing. They're currently testing Ungol Ruins on normal difficulty. There are 12 NPC teams available for testing, 6 per faction. Here is what, I guess this is a bit of confirmation, here are the things that we know will be the goals and what we expect from what is randomly generated on these islands. Still one of the top 3 things I'm looking forward to in this expansion, and all of this sort of helps confirm what I'm excited about. So the goal of an island expedition is to collect Azerite, first team to 6,000 Azerite wins. A group of NPCs from the opposing faction will be present, competing with you for your Azerite. Many things on the island reward Azerite, including chests, Azerite crystals, powerful creatures, friendly NPCs in need of aid, killing NPCs, and more. You'll find things you can interact with scattered all across the island, and they'll be randomly generated in these categories: creatures, capture points, chests and Azerite nodes, quest givers, consumables and shrines, start locations, weather, environmental hazards, caves, ships, and they said more, whatever more means. That's great. I mean, the only thing that's really not generated is the actual geography of the space.
Yeah, so the geography will remain the same, but the doodads on there will change. Mm-hmm. So you might find that there's a valley that's been filled with boulders, so you can't progress through there. So even with the geography staying the same, some of the routes may change based on the themes and stuff that happens. Mm. So very excited, just because it feels very much like the learnings they had with Mythic Plus and the different affixes, and how sometimes you would get a really cool combination of stuff and it's really fun and challenging. And also that sort of Diablo-esque, when you're coming across a rare elite that is kind of tenacious, terrifying, and arcane, and all these things. It's like, oh wow, cool! This is different than the last time I fought this guy, because this one freezes you in place, but equally has the thing that zaps you if you're standing still. So, oh, this is tricky. I got to keep avoiding stuff.
Yeah,
and I think it's that on an island scale is very cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's that that I'm. I think the reason I'm so excited is it's that bit of. I mean, it's why Diablo is so replayable for me, including all the Diablo iterations, 1, 2, and 3. They all had this, like, these tile sets would move around. The encounters were different. It didn't matter if you were repeating content. You were repeating it, but in a whole different place with different locations, different elites, different everything. And that's Diablo for me, and for a lot of people. But that's what makes that game work so well for me. We're not exactly getting that, but we're getting a pretty close idea to that, and I'm jazzed about it. They're going to offer it, of course, in normal, heroic, and mythic modes. There may even be a fourth thing. What am I missing?
PvP.
Oh, right. There's that.
Because by default, they've got this new enemy AI that's meant to be much smarter, plays more like a person. That sounds really exciting. Again, if it works here, they can then roll that out everywhere.
Yeah.
So then you're fighting out in the world, suddenly the mob is moving around and it's countering you and stuff like that. That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Equally in a raid, the boss not being a scripted, here's the things I do, but instead being like, oh, hang on, that healer, I should probably take that healer out. Mm. That all of a sudden changes things up. So it'd be cool to see how the AI system actually plays out.
Yeah, I agree. Looking forward to those. Probably will not be testing it because I'm a lousy tester, but I really want that in the game and I'm very excited about that coming. Quick reminder that audiobooks are great, by the way, for helping you be a better you. For our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. And if you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Just go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a free trial and start listening. It's that easy. Whether you want to feel healthier, get motivated, or maybe learn something new, Audible's got an audiobook for that. It's not just fantasy books and science fiction for all of us nerds. It's a lot more than that. So go check that out. I've had a great personal experience using Audible. I listen to the Christy Golden books that are there because she makes rad World of Warcraft books and other books, fantastic Star Wars stuff as well. That's what I get. You could get that too, and that book's there. Hey, you want to get her books for one of them for free? Part of this deal could mean a free book there. Plus, you get the free trial. Oh, man. This is amazing. You can also try stuff that, I don't know, makes you a better person. Like, are you a badass at making money? Rich dad, poor dad? Crypto assets, the innovative investor's guide to Bitcoin and beyond? Oh, my gosh. Can you believe it? Bitcoin's here, man. Cryptocurrencies, it's what's up. Healthy books like The Sleep Revolution. I could use that. The Power of Habit and The Obesity Code. Maybe get inspired by things like Braving the Wilderness, Daily Self-Discipline, or The Power of Habit. Anyway, grab one of those and see what you think. It also has WhisperSync. Have you guys heard of this? Switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place or missing a word. I've been doing that. It's pretty good. And your books are yours to keep, by the way. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you cancel your membership. All right, so here's what's going on. You need to go to Audible and get a 30-day free trial at audible.com/wow or text WOW, that's W-O-W, to 500-500. That's A-U-D-I-B-L-E, audible.com/wow, and text WOW to 500-500. Let's take a look at what's happening around the rest of Blizzard. Well, that music's appropriate because Hearthstone announced a new expansion. It is called The Witchwood. It's got, well, what, let me get your first impressions, thoughts.
Yeah, so really excited. I love they did a Blair Witch style kind of found footage announcement video, which I thought was really fun. They basically the theme of the Witchwood is we're getting a couple new keywords. So we've got Echo. Echo works like Unstable Evolution, whereby you play a card and you can play that card again the same turn if you have the mana to play it. So, and again, and again, and again until you've run out of mana. So that's a really cool keyword. So they've got an Echo taunt that's a 3-mana, I think it's a 2/3 with taunt or something like that. But that means that on turn 6, you can play that twice. Or on turn 9, you can play it 3 times. Mm-hmm. But it's one card. So Right. Those are really special. Those are cool. They also have Rush. So Rush, obviously, apart from being one of the greatest bands of all time, is the kind of the new keyword for charge. So charge previously has charge, parentheses, cannot attack hero this turn. They've renamed that into Rush. So it's just saying Rush means you can attack a minion when you're played, but obviously you can't attack the enemy hero. And it means it's a little bit smarter.
Interesting. I did not know.
They also introduced some new deck building archetypes. Mm-hmm. So they've got Gangrene Mane, who will improve your hero powers. I think it reduces it by 1, actually. I'm trying to remember now. Yeah, it reduces the cost of your hero power to 1. If all the cards in your deck are even mana costs. So in the way that Reno Jackson and Kazakus made us build decks around only having 1 of any card, this deck now is only having even costs of any card. So you can't have any 3-drops, you can't have any 5-drops. Mm-hmm. But equally, the great thing about Gen is if he's in your deck, he fills out your mana curve because you have even cost cards. So on turn 3, you can press you can use your hero power as well as play a card. So that's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
There's then Baku, who if you have only odd cards in your deck, improves the power of your hero power, like Justicar used to do in Grand Tournament. So your Paladin hero power, rather than making 1/1/1, makes 2/1/1s. Your Hunter does 3 damage to face rather than 2. So immediately it really shakes up how you're putting together decks. And obviously being the very beginning of the card releases, we don't quite know all the different synergies, but I think it's going to be some interesting stuff. Dean, he put a video out showing a armor warrior, kind of fatigue warrior, working really well with the improved hero power. Equally, Face Hunter, coming back. You know, you can put in a lot of one mana cost minions, which are odd, so you can use those all the time, mm-hmm. and then just keep hitting the other guy in the face for three every single turn, which is pretty crazy.
I love face hunters, dude. They're my favorite. It's like the newbie deck. The newbie decks I always make for myself because I suck. The ones I end up doing the best on the ladder with are these face hunter decks, and it's just great, man. Don't go changing game.
I think exactly, and it's good. Like, you know, aggro can be potentially something that will displace Q block, which is the most prevalent deck at the moment. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But very excited. I love Hearthstone, and I love Hearthstone expansion more than anything. The meta still at the moment is at its most enjoyable that it's been in a long time. I don't think it's really kind of settled down into a very, like, this is the best deck. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think there's a huge amount to be enjoyed.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so there's that going on. Also, in Heroes of the Storm, they announced, this is great, actually, a thing I can talk about before the next core episode, which is usually what I've already talked about, but yesterday they made it known that Phoenix is the next hero to enter the Heroes of the Storm space, and it is a character, if you know StarCraft at all, from that, and he is a, a Dragoon, there you go. Although I know he has different forms and stuff in the story, I don't know a ton about him, except that I know this coincides nicely with the 20-year anniversary of StarCraft, so why not a cool StarCraft hero coming to Heroes of the Storm? So that's exciting.
Was he a co-op commander as well in StarCraft?
Yes, he was in one of those commander mission things. Didn't play any of those. I feel bad that I didn't, because it's normally right up my alley, but for whatever reason, I fell way off of StarCraft. But I love the characters that come from StarCraft. I love Heroes of the Storm, so for me, it's a perfect marriage. Bring him in. There's a lot of rumors swirling around that when they get to PAX East, they're going to announce Deckard Cain, finally.
Oh, quite a treasure.
Which I'm really looking forward to. I named my we have a new cat. I've named him Deckard, so it's time
That's nice.
Time to bring it all together and make my life complete.
Beware his foul taint.
of Diablo. Brigitte, or however the hell you say her name.
Brigitte
or whatever. Yeah. She is joining she's already in Overwatch as far as PTR goes, but she will now join the live game on the 20th. That's next Tuesday. And be in there for reals. Everyone seems to really like her. Even if you haven't played her, people seem to like her.
I don't think she's going to change things too much. But it does provide some utility that, you know, potentially will be seen. I don't know if we're going to see her in competitive, but we'll see.
Yeah, but this is also a time. I just want to point this out. We live in an era where people get excited about a melee-based character in a first-person shooter. What other shooter does that happen in? None of them. But in Overwatch, they've proven they can do it, so people get excited about melee in a shooting game. And she's almost all melee, so aside from her little push-off thing, she doesn't shoot anything.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how she fits into meta and how people play and what the playstyles do and all that. So I'm very excited about her. She's awesome in terms of like her VO and her artwork and her design. She's basically Johanna from Diablo in Overwatch form, which is great. Totally into that. Okay, there was a rumor last week. I at least wanted to just mention this. Diablo Twitter account posted this thing with a switch, and the idea was that, good night, everybody, and this little night switch with Diablo's head on it was like a hint that that Diablo 3, already a great console port on Xbox and PlayStation, was going to be headed toward the Nintendo Switch. What a perfect marriage of that game and a new device, and people flipped out, and then they came out and said, no, we don't have anything announced right now. That was just a thing. Don't read too much into it. And then later, some people said, there's probably something going on. We're always looking at the Switch for the... So I want to know where your head's at. Do you think we get Diablo 3 on the Switch? And if not, why not? Because it makes perfect sense to me. Just put it out.
We do. Eurogamer posted an article saying it's coming. I don't know who their source is, but they're pretty repped when they come to stuff they talk about. So I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll play it again. I'm ready to go again. It's not a problem.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, I'll do it.
I'll do it in bed. That's where I'll do it, is in bed.
I do it on a train.
Yeah. It's the best place to do it is on a train.
It's going to be interesting, though, because Diablo is an online game on all the other platforms. As far as I'm aware, can you play it offline on a console?
You can play offline on a console.
I mean, you can, actually.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
So I guess you'll be able to do it. It will be the console version, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a great version of the game.
And I think they've added a lot of stuff to it. I hope, although I doubt they will, but I've always wanted to have it tied into Battle.net so that I can have the same characters and just kind of, you know, friends come round, they can log into their Battle.net and we can cross-play and do stuff like that, you know.
Maybe Nintendo would be more willing to let that happen, because I always assumed it was Microsoft or Sony that wouldn't allow that. Maybe that was a decision at Blizzard. I don't know.
Mm.
But this, you know, the same thing. Same thing could be said for console versions of Overwatch and PC versions of Overwatch. It'd be nice if your character and collection stuff could carry over, but maybe not your record on those platforms, like how many wins or whatever. But I feel like more and more, and Steam maybe has spoiled me, but I just like moving around with my shit. I like to have Hearthstone on a mobile device and Hearthstone on a computer and a Mac and three other things that are all sharing the same decks, the same win rates, the same goals. Like, it's all there. That's I feel like I wish more of their games did that across the board. Anyway, there's that. All right, well, folks, that leads us to one place and one place only, and that's this. Wait, that's quiet for some reason. Let's do it again.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, it is time for the Town Crier. That's where we read an email from you fine folks at home. You send your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. It has thus been true since the day we started. Here is the guy who wrote in this week. His name is Jason Richard. He has two first names, and he says this. So with the current server/guild structure in place, it's hard for people to move to a new guild because they have so many alts on other servers, and it's so expensive to move them all. What do you think if you paid a fee that opened up a 3-day window that you could move your characters around to adjust them to the servers you wanted to have them in? So as an example, let's say $25, which is a normal character transfer cost. Pay for that covering a time slot where you could just shuffle things around and then go, okay, I think I'm good. And then when the time slot ended, everything was where you pushed it. How do you feel about that idea?
I mean, obviously, Activision Blizzard, I put in the Activision just so that people understand where I'm going.
Right.
They love money. so depending on how much this is, but I hear you, I suffer from it. You know, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be great to do this guy and that guy and this guy? It's tough.
Four guys, $100. That's too much if you need to transfer four things around. It's a lot of money. Like, I'm with him. This is, okay, how about 50, and then his little window idea, and it's a 24-hour window. That I'd totally vote for. That seems like a price that I could just about justify, and it's one that Blizzard could make money on, and it accomplishes the need to rearrange all your stuff. And with all these new races coming and the way guilds work, I mean, he's right. And there are some servers where, you know, the lopsided problem is still a problem, even with the zoning and the stuff they're doing now to sort of mesh servers in certain areas and stuff. They've done a lot to fix that, but it's still kind of an issue. And when you know that you're lopsided, it just feels bad. So I get it. I totally get it. Well, we'll see, Jason Richard. If Blizzard's listening, maybe they'll change it.
I mean, they put a charge on just because they don't really want to have lots of it going on.
Yeah.
But with how the game is now, it still feels way too expensive.
Yeah, I agree. Especially because you're paying the 15 plus now you're paying, I don't know, what do you pay for boosts? 50, 60? What is it?
It's $50 or something, isn't it? Or maybe 60.
It's no, 49.
I think it's 40. It's 40 quid. So I'm trying to think if it's, it'd probably be, probably be $50.
Yeah, I forget last time I did it. It was,
well, like I said, it's often cheaper to buy a digital collector's edition somewhere.
Yeah.
And add that to your account than to buy a boost.
Yeah.
Which just seems crazy.
It is crazy. It's so dumb. Because you're anyway, whatever. They get it where they can get it. I understand that. And, I don't, you know, people aren't going to boost that often. They get a free one with their expansions. Like, I'm sure they've had lots of meetings about this. There are people smarter than me at Blizzard. I just always felt like that was a yank. So it'd be cool if maybe they had an option like that with every expansion to do a little shuffling around in the first week. That would be all right. That may be chaos on the tech end, though. Like, imagine first
yeah,
week.
It might create even more stuff happening when a lot of stuff's happened.
Yeah, that'd be a nightmare.
Might be not what they want. Maybe the patch before the expansion comes out or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, get where you want to be. There's a free window this weekend or this week.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I could totally see that. So a reminder, theinstance@gmail.com, that's the email address to use. You can be like Jason Richard and send in your own emails. We'll answer them right here on the show. Now, before we get out of here, are you going to see Greg while you're there? Because Greg Street will probably be at GDC, won't he?
I'm hoping to. Yeah. Surprisingly, he's a really busy man.
Yeah.
So I've offered to buy him some drinks just because as long as there's someone else there, people don't judge you. Yeah. If you start drinking at like, you know, 10 a.m., 11 a.m. or something like that, they're just like, oh, I get it. They're having a meeting. They're just, yeah, it just as you would. Oh, do you want a drink? Let's have a drink. That's fine. Yeah. We'll get some nachos on the side.
Sure.
You know, whereas if you just, you know, sat there drinking by yourself, you know.
You'd be on your fourth whiskey by now this morning if it wasn't for this show. So I know what you're saying. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to set up the tech.
He's awesome, and I bet he will because he's great and always down to clown. So you'll have to let us know how that goes. And if you see Terpster at GDC, make sure you say hi. And
yeah, come say hi. Someone from Blizzard saw me at Universal Studios and just tweeted me.
Oh, that's cool.
Coming to say hi.
Oh, they should have come up and said hi. Yeah, that's dumb.
Come up and say hi.
Sure.
But I think they're also like, is there him? I don't know. Of course it's me. I'm very iconic, guys.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever see me anywhere, always come and say hi.
It's your intimidating.
Especially if I'm with people. Yeah. Some people are like, oh, I didn't want to disturb you. It's like, no. Do you know how cool you look if suddenly complete strangers come up to you and say, hey, sorry, I just want to say hi. I think you're a badass. Anyway, you know, can I have a picture? And then boom, you know, everyone you're talking to suddenly is like, oh, sorry, I didn't know you were famous.
It's your disarming good looks. It's just you don't know what you're going to get.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. So watch out for that. All right. Well, look for that. Look for other stuff coming up this next week. We don't know what's going on in the world of Blizzard, but we'll know by then. So check us out next week for another episode of The Instance. You can find the show at theinstance.net. You can follow Terpster on the internet at the_T on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Johnson. You can find Patrick at Not Patrick, and more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me and for Terpster and for Patrick and that baby, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Chiropractors face unexpected threat to their businesses. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. With the defeat of the Legion on Argus, it seemed that a long chapter of Azeroth's history was finally coming to a close. But while the battle may be over, some effects of the Fell still remain. The orcs of the Horde still bear green skin, and the crushing weight of years of Fell corruption has bent their postures and deadened the nerves in their backs. That is what makes recent reports from Silith so intriguing. Some goblin mercenaries swear to ODN that they have seen green orcs walking upright. Goblins not being known for their honesty, we dispatched a reporter to the region to investigate. Her report is fascinating. A huge wall of metal rises from the ground amidst the insect nests. Spread around the area, golden globs of goo ooze from cracks in the soil. The air reverberates with what she describes as a feeling of immense pain. She sees an orc scoop up the goo and slop it onto its hunched back. The orc roars in pain, arches its back, and stands tall. His facial expression ripples from pain to confusion to amazement and finally to triumph. Her message concludes, the orc slapped his back, laughed, threw his arms into the air, and bellowed, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel spine!" Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.